all of us. Everyone at the State's Academic Medical Center. All working together to deliver complete care now and for generations to come. All over the state, including hospital and clinic locations from the Delta to the Gulf Coast. All for one reason. You, the University of Mississippi Medical Center. All for your health.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
The 10-Minute Timeout is a mini-podcast that brings Mississippi sports stories to life. Join me, Lacey Alexander, as I learn more about the teams, athletes, staff, and programs that make our state proud. One-on-one interviews with influential playmakers paint a clear picture for listeners of how Mississippi sports inspire and energize our community. New episodes released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting app.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit on MPB Think Radio. I'm your host, Josie Bidwell, Associate Professor of Preventive Medicine and Nurse Practitioner at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. And today I have a couple of very good friends and colleagues who are going to be helping me address the topic of integrated health. If you would like to talk with us today, you can always email me, fit@mpbonline.org. All right, those very special guests I have with me today are Dr. Danny Burgess and the wonderful Rachel Deere, and they are with the Center for Integrative Health, which is part of UMC, and an area that I work very closely with as well. I often say our areas are sister clinics because we collaboratively take care of a lot of patients together with lifestyle medicine and integrative health. So Dr. Burgess is an associate professor of psychiatry at UMMC, and you work as a clinical psychologist, correct?
Correct.
And you're also the director for the Center for Integrative Health. And Rachel is a physical therapist by training, but also serves as the associate director for the Center for Integrative Health. So I think a good spot to start is, what the heck is integrative health?
Yes, great question. So when we look at integrative health, kind of an integrative health approach, what we're looking at is really looking at the individual in this holistic, comprehensive way. Because as you know, with our understanding and research, mounds of research backs this up, that so much of our health is dependent on our just our day-to-day behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so integrative health wants to kind of educate and show the patient, the individual that we're treating, that all their healthy behaviors, their lifestyle behaviors, can do a lot to help with their health and wellness, mm-hmm. but also can do a lot to take away from that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm talking about things like sleep and nutrition, our physical activity, our stress management. And so when we work with patients, we want them to have this comprehensive or integrative approach mm-hmm. to their health and be sure that they're addressing all those areas. And that's what makes our clinic so unique, our center so unique, is that we have the providers that are going to address all those different areas. Our patients see all those providers and get this comprehensive integrative approach to their health.
And get the same messaging,
correct,
which I think is so really important, because there's enough confusion out there in Google land or social media land about how we should be eating or what types of physical activity we should be doing, how much we should be sleeping, all of these different things. And it can be really confusing for individuals trying to navigate that and kind of find out what is actually the real evidence behind those things, and then making sure that your team that is addressing all of those different areas for you are speaking the same language.
Right, because a lot of times when patients come to see us and they see Rachel for physical therapy, see me for psychology, we've already begun to talk about what's going on with that patient and giving that consistent message. Because we even see, you know, going from one provider to a different provider, you know, in different settings, they can get inconsistent mm-hmm. messages in terms of how much they should eat or not, how they should manage their physical activity or not. So with our team approach, that's all under one roof, mm-hmm. which is also a very unique setup, really does send that clear, specific message to the patients to say, this is the direction we're going, and you're going to hear that from your multiple providers at Integrative Health.
Right. Or if one of your providers may not know what needs to happen Correct. Related to that, they're going to shoot a message, right? So a lot of the patients that see Integrative Health also see us in lifestyle medicine, and we kind of start the ball rolling and looking at what their overall goal is, right? That's really important, is trying to get at what do you want to see for yourself in terms of your health. And that's usually not just going to be, well, I want to lose 20 pounds or any of those things. It's, but why? You know, why, mm-hmm. you know, what is that going to change about your life if we're able to lose that weight? And what we do in lifestyle is try to find that and then try and see which team members are the next step for trying to get people closer to that goal. A lot of times people get referred in to us, and it may be for something like chronic pain, which is a group of patients that we both kind of work on. And when I'm doing kind of that initial assessment and getting at the why, it's because, you know, they want to be able to go do their own grocery shopping or, you know, take a trip with their family or these kinds of things. And so we really try to get down to the root of, well, what's keeping us from being able to do that? Yes, pain is a portion of that, but are there other things that are contributing to that pain? And then we prioritize those, right? It may Exactly. be really poor sleep. And a lot of people Mm-hmm. don't make that connection between I'm hurting and I'm not sleeping well. Or the connection they make is I'm not sleeping well because I'm hurting. And it's often a big old cycle to
right,
that,
right? A lot of time they think they have to manage their pain first in order to sleep better. Mm-hmm. But really, of those two things, the thing they have the most control over is maybe improving their sleep. Mm-hmm. And then what they will see is the changes in their pain
right.
levels.
Right.
Same thing with nutrition, mm-hmm. and especially with emotion management, stress management.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a major contributor to pain. And so I think a lot of times there's this emphasis on trying to change the pain when really it's all these other surrounding factors that are a lot of times escalating mm-hmm. that pain sensation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want us to kind of hang out on that for a little bit, because both of you guys work on chronic pain with patients a lot. And I think a lot of times we think about in terms of musculoskeletal pain, so knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you know, the variety of pains that occur, or just sometimes it's multiple joint pains. And we send somebody to physical therapy, we tend to think of, well, I'm trying to rehab some specific type of injury. But we can work on pain reduction from a totality standpoint, right, Rachel?
Absolutely, yes. There's a lot of different interventions that we can do, but there are a lot of lifestyle changes that the patients can make from a physical activity and mobility standpoint to influence their pain as well. Mm-hmm. And many people who have pain are just fearful of movement in general. They feel like the more I move, the more I'll hurt, mm-hmm. when in fact, if they just know the correct movements, the more they move, the less they can hurt.
Yeah, and that's important for everyone. You know, a lot of us are more accustomed to sitting the majority of our day, and that just simply changes our posture and the way we pick up things and the way we move throughout our day. And so we develop these aches and pains and different things, and we think, oh, well, I can't do an exercise program because I'm hurting. And if we actually just fix how we're moving, then we're able to progress that, right?
Right. And even fix how we're sitting and how posture's a huge, I'm glad mm-hmm. you brought it up, because mm-hmm. it's a huge piece of why people are hurting. Mm-hmm. Just knowing the correct alignment when we're sitting or when we're standing at the sink washing dishes or even when we're lying down and sleeping can make a huge difference in chronic pain.
Oh, that one's a big one for me. You know, I always find it funny how, like, when I was 20, I could sleep on the floor and get up and be fine, like go run a 5K the next day, right? And then after you hit 30, you're like, that mattress made my back hurt, right? And then once you hit like 40 and 50, you're like, what happened to me? Did I fight somebody while I slept last night? You know, and you just wake up with all these pains. And for me, it was a neck issue. I mean, I had significant neck pain where I had to go, like I thought I was going to go to the emergency room. And I'm pretty tolerant of things, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of pain. And I was crying with my shoulder. And I said, I don't even think I cried when I gave birth. You know, it was it was really bad. And, you know, some of it, actually, when the physical therapist saw me and it was a whole lot of misalignment of things, like mm-hmm. muscles that were carrying a heavier load of my daily movements than they are intended to carry, just right. because I wasn't aware of the fact that I was holding my neck incorrectly when I was sitting, and you know, the pillow I was sleeping on wasn't providing my neck with the support that it needed, so it was making these other muscles that are not intended to hold up my big old head to hold it up, you know. And so I think it's really important that we kind of give our physical therapists and our movement specialists the seat on the team that they really deserve, because it really can make a remarkable difference in our overall pain levels and just our quality of life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not that difficult. I think what I see a lot of times is when I do educate patients on posture and small changes they can make, even if it's the height of their seat or mm-hmm. the height of their screen, or, you know, the way they're lifting up their grandchildren, or if they can't get all the way on the floor, how about a little step stool? Just some of those adjustments. Mm-hmm. They're surprised at how easy some of the changes are to make.
Mm-hmm. I'm Josie Bidwell, and I've got two guests here with me today. I have Dr. Danny Burgess and Rachel Deer with the Center for Integrative Health. All right, guys, while we wait for some friends to hop on the line with us, Rachel, let's talk about Pilates, because I don't think I've done a show specifically on Pilates. I've had yoga instructors on the show before, and we've talked about yoga. And I think sometimes those two things kind of get squished together, and mm-hmm. people think that they're the same thing. And there are probably some similarities between the two, but they can be different. And you actually use some Pilates techniques in working with your patients at the Center for Integrative Health. So let's start with, what is it and why can it be so beneficial for folks?
Okay. First of all, I love Pilates. I love promoting Pilates. And the reason that it gets put together with yoga at times is because they both are mind-body exercises. So they're both mindful movements. And that is one of the greatest qualities about Pilates, is that it strengthens and relaxes your mind and your body. So it's just a very healthy thing to do that is super versatile. Pilates focuses on core strength. I would say, having participated in yoga and being certified in Pilates, that Pilates is a little more movement based. There's a little bit less sitting still that occurs in Pilates in general, although yoga has a very wonderful flow as well. Mm-hmm. Pilates exercises, all of them involve movement except for the rest position, which just basically teaches you the proper alignment, which is mm-hmm. what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So all of the Pilates exercises start from a rest position that aligns your spine and pelvis. And it's based on having a stable core and mobile limbs, which is what we want all day long when we're walking around, right? Or with anything we're doing, mm-hmm. stable core, mobile limbs to prevent back injuries specifically and all other musculoskeletal aches and pains. Pilates can be done on the mat, like a floor, or in your bed. Also on the reformer.
Wait, I can exercise in my bed.
You can.
Oh, hot dog.
You can.
That's actually where Pilates originated, were hospital beds with the springs on them and used as the tension, like around
goodness.
World War I, World War II.
That's so, right.
Look,
yes.
love.
Look at
you
Danny's
showing out.
Pilates IQ over here.
And I'm done. That's all I had.
That's all I had. It was more than I had, so I didn't know that. So I love learning something new every day.
That's true. They did attach springs to hospital beds and noticed a big difference mm-hmm. in those people in their rehabilitation and recovery. Mm-hmm. They were recovering faster than people who weren't using those strengthening techniques in bed. So there's reformer Pilates, which sort of mimics that whole idea of having tension and springs while you're lying down. What I love about Pilates for the population that we see, people with chronic medical conditions, is that the exercises themselves, and even on the reformer, the equipment itself, is very friendly. It's not something that you could easily get injured mm-hmm. with, as long as you have the proper instruction.
Right.
So, and it accommodates all ages, sizes, fitness levels, postures. You can do Pilates standing up. You can do it lying down. You can do it seated. So it's just super versatile and just a great tool.
Mm-hmm. I always say it's a sneaky exercise, yeah. because when you do it, you're like, oh, I can do this. This isn't too bad. And then after you get off of it, you realize just how sore you are.
Uh-huh, that you were using things you didn't.
It just sneaks up on you.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I've never done Pilates, but I've done yoga. And it's kind of the same. Mm-hmm. Like you'll go, oh, look, that looks fine. Like I right. can do that. I mean, not some of the positions, but some of them that are very sneaky. Like they don't look like they're going to be doing a lot to you, mm-hmm. but it's much harder to hold that position or get in that position or walk the next day. Mm-hmm. Because you're using muscles that maybe you typically have not utilized because you haven't thought to intentionally engage those. And that's the other thing about a really good instructor and having that instruction is they're going to coach you through like where you should be feeling that. And if you're not feeling that right there, then we're not doing that right. And we need to adjust what we're doing there. I want to talk about the reformer Pilates a little bit because that piece of equipment can look a little
intimidating.
It can look a little scary if you've never seen anybody on it or you've only seen somebody on social media using it that's already like in really great shape and knows exactly what they're doing. The thought of getting on that thing, especially if you're somebody who maybe has chronic pain or is not used to physical activity, you may go, like, there's no way I can get on that and do what I saw that girl doing, you know?
Sure. And it does. Patients often will be like, wait, that's a medieval torture device.
It looks
device.
Like the rack. Like, it looks like you're going to put you on it and stretch it
exactly,
out.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's super comfortable. And the reformer, like I said, you can lie down, stand up, or sit and use it. And it comes with a lot of props as well. Mm-hmm. There's even a jump board that you can put at the bottom to practice jumping, mm-hmm. Which is useful for people who are trying to return to something like gymnastics, mm-hmm. you know. And we have used that for that specific thing. But the reformer, the tension on it is created by different levels of springs. And then the carriage that you lie on smoothly glides back and mm-hmm. forth. And one of the main things that we work on when we introduce people to the reformer is connecting their breath with their movement. And so the carriage that slides back and forth that you're either sitting or lying down on or standing on, as it moves, you breathe with the movement. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a very nice way for them to connect mind and body and healing, because the more oxygen that's coming in, the more mm-hmm. healing we're getting.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that people don't recognize they're doing is holding their breath. Mm-hmm. And I was not aware of how much I held my breath during different exercises than when I was working with one of our trainers and just lifting weights. And they were like, you're not breathing. You know, like that's why you don't feel good when we're doing this, because you're not delivering as much oxygen to your muscles. So focusing on that breath is a skill that you use in exercise, but Danny, I imagine you use that focus on the breath in psychology as well.
Very
right?
much so. And I always joke with Rachel that she deserves an honorary PhD in psychology, because she is just as much a psychologist when she's working with her patients, because she is recognizing the breathing and how important that is. Also, you know, looking to see where patients are holding their tension, mm-hmm. keeping their shoulders up or clenching their jaw or maybe their hands. And yes, that's what we work on in psychology mm-hmm. in our sessions is progressive muscle relaxation or deep breathing exercises. And that's what makes, again, our clinic so unique, is that these patients are hearing, again, that consistent message from their psychologist, from their physical therapist, on the importance of their being mindful of their mm-hmm. breathing, their posture, their body awareness, and where they're carrying their stress and the things that they can do to just, even if it's just a few seconds a day, you know, like driving home, we hold our shoulders up as we're driving because mm-hmm. we're tense from the day, and letting that drop a little bit. Just that alone is a pretty effective intervention mm-hmm. to just lower the overall stress levels.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned kind of the word mindful, and the word mindfulness is a pretty big buzzword. Like, we're seeing it around a whole lot more than we used to see it. But it's not a new thing, the field of mindfulness,
no, not
right?
At all.
But I think sometimes people misconstrue it, and they think that it has to be kind of the sitting cross-legged and, mm-hmm. you know, going om and, you know,
right,
all these
right.
different kinds of things. And they're like, I am not going to do that. But that's not at all what the basis of mindfulness is. Talk to us a little bit about what being mindful is and how we might even start a practice of mindfulness.
Yeah, so you're right. I think it's a lot like yoga and Pilates, how those get kind of blended. So mindfulness and meditation mm-hmm. get blended. Now, I love a good Venn diagram, so there is some overlap with mindfulness yes. and meditation, but there are also those separate components. And so mindfulness really is, it's just an awareness of thoughts and feelings that we have without judgment. And that, to me, is always the element that usually gets lost in really understanding what mindfulness is about. It's really all about curiosity and trying to become more familiar with the thoughts and the emotions that we're having in a particular moment, or maybe in response to something. Because this is what I teach my patients, the more you become familiar with how you're feeling and thinking, the less fearful you are of it, which means the less avoidant behaviors you're going to engage in. Mm-hmm. And that's what we love to do when we feel something that's unpleasant or distressing. We want to avoid and escape as much as we can. So mindfulness is an outlet or is a venue for us to use those skills that make up mindfulness as a way to become more familiar in a curious way with our emotions and thoughts, be able to describe them, be able to understand where they're coming from, so that then we can make a change in our life that mm-hmm. we need to make. And now we're making a change with intention and not in reaction. Mm-hmm. A lot of times if it's in reaction, it's because we don't really know what's going on. We just want to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Eating, we do this a lot mm-hmm. with our patients. Eating can be a great escape from emotions. And so instead of it really addressing the emotion, now we've taken on a habit, a behavior that's not now in line with our health. And so mindfulness allows that pause, allows us to kind of slow things down. Rachel does a great job with our patients when she's doing like Pilates or other exercises to help them to be very aware of what they're doing in that moment. And then that can help you make much healthier decisions when you have sort of a mindfulness approach mm-hmm. to it.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody's out there listening and they're like, okay, you've sold me, like mindfulness might be something that I need to do. Like, how do you start that? Like, how do you start being mindful?
There's really a lot of great, and I'm not promoting any specific one, but like YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. If you just typed in mindfulness script or mindfulness exercises or guided mindfulness, mm-hmm. and you'll come across thousands. And so you can find one that seems to be very kind of in tuned with you. So YouTube provides a lot of that. There's a lot of just great apps too, health apps that out there that do a lot of mindfulness, guided mindfulness exercises. Or you can see a great psychologist mm-hmm. at the Center for Integrative Health.
Yeah, you sure can.
He'll work with you on some of the skills of mm-hmm. mindfulness.
Yeah.
Also at our center, we offer a lot of groups that talk a lot about teaching mindfulness techniques and strategies. And that's another way that that people can find that out, because that's open to the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So let's throw out the website for the Center for Integrative Health. It's umc.edu/CIH, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's tons of information there about those groups that you just mentioned. Groups are often a really great way to start to try something new, especially if you bring a buddy to your
Very
group.
Much so. Yes.
Because then, you know, the practice is not solely focused on you. And so it can be just a little less intimidating to start some of those things there. And initially, when you start a group, you can be as quiet or as, you know, as boisterous as you would like to be. And then, you know, as you get more comfortable, we usually see people pick up and start to talk more and participate more and do more of those things there. You know, one of my favorite mindful activities is just sitting outside and paying attention to what's outside. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to sit outside and scroll on our phone, or we sit outside or even go for a walk, but we ruminate on all of the stuff we got to do. Like, I got to go to the grocery store, and I got to do laundry when I get home, and the kids got a science project tomorrow. Do we have a trifold board or whatever it is that we got to have for that? And if you're listening and you just go ahead and buy some of those trifold boards and stick them in the closet, because that will creep up on you. But just being, again, present in what you see around you. If you can't be present in your brain, because sometimes that's mm-hmm. harder to do, you know, when you're trying to just be quiet and be still with your thoughts, your brain can sometimes be unkind to you and sometimes just go off on tangents. But really trying to just pay attention to what's around us can be a good way to start that. You know, so I often go like, how many different kinds of birds do I hear?
Right.
You know, I was laying in the hammock yesterday at my parents' house after Easter lunch, and my 12-year-old came and got in the hammock with me, and that's what we did. Because you know, he was like, I hear a cricket. And I was like, I don't think that's a cricket, but we'll go with it. What else, you know, what else do you hear? You know, and he's like, well, I hear birds. And I said, well, let's count them. Like, how many different kinds of birds do you hear going on right here? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or how many different colors of flowers do you see out here? Right? Like, there's some yellow, there's some pink, there's some purple, and there's no magic to how many you find, but you're giving your brain something to do other than worry spiral, because that's what it likes to do sometimes. And you're appreciating kind of all the things that are around you. So that's been one of the easiest ways for me to be more present and more mindful, is to give my brain an assignment, because it likes to be busy. And if I don't give it something that is beneficial for it to do, then it's going to focus on all the negative things that are going on.
That's the observe and describe components of mindfulness, because you know, anxiety exists in the past and the future, what we think about, what we should have done, or all the things that we need to do. But finding concrete, tangible ways to keep yourself present in that moment where anxiety doesn't exist. But you're right, our brain loves to deviate from that. So the more you can find those concrete ways of keeping it present by the observations and the describing is a great mindfulness technique.
Look at there. Maybe I need to come do some mindfulness now.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. We'll talk a little bit more about mindfulness, and in particular mindful eating, and some tips that you can put in place if you're maybe struggling with some of that emotional eating that we talked about before. You're listening to Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit on MPB Think Radio. I'm your host, Josie Bidwell, joined today by Danny Burgess and Rachel Deer. And we're talking about integrative health today. And the last little bit of time has been focused around mindfulness. And we do have a caller on the line that we want to get to, and with a mindfulness question. All right, let's go down to Monticello and say good morning, Veronica. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. So I'm a truck driver, and I just happen to have the radio on. I'm actually going to pick up my load right now. But I really like what you said about, you know, kind of looking, like staying in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And for a truck driver, it's really hard to stay in the present because we're always thinking about things that we should have done or what we didn't do when we leave the home or when we leave our family or our friends. And also we think about the future. But as I'm rolling through here, and exactly when you were saying, you know, the backwoods of Monticello, Mississippi, is beautiful. You know, it's very woodsy, you know. And so I really like what you said about listening to the birds and things like that. But so you guys also mentioned, I'm seeing a therapist now. It's been my fourth session. I just met with him this morning, and he focuses on mindfulness. So I thought, wow, this is, what a coincidence. You know, like the world is telling me something, you know, that I'm on the right track. I'm kind of going through a midlife crisis. You know, I'm 47, going to be 48. I quit chewing tobacco, and it's been 7 weeks now. And
congrats.
So I've been using food.
Awesome.
Food, thank you. Thank you. I've been using food. I've gained 23 pounds. And it's like, you got to, like, pick and choose your battles. Like, do I chew tobacco so I stay skinny?
No.
Or do I stop chewing tobacco so I don't get mouth cancer?
Right.
Or, you know, health issues with my mouth. But now I'm going to develop diabetes and high blood pressure because I'm eating so much. So it's really hard, you know, to pick your battles. But I guess, I don't know if I really have a question, but I guess it would be like, how do I battle the urge of eating, you know, eating my emotions, you know, because I'm emotional, because I can't have the tobacco because then I would fail, you know, and I don't want to fail. So
Well, I think that the first place, before I turn it over to Dr. Burgess, the first thing that I want to say and congratulate you on is the incredible self-awareness that you have around this situation, right? Like, you understand how your health behaviors contribute to your overall health, right? Like, you've identified the fact that you don't want to chew tobacco because it's going to give you mouth cancer, right? But then you also realize that you've kind of strayed into not the most helpful coping strategy, which is with food, because that's going to lead to some other health issues we want down the road. So while it can seem super frustrating for you because you feel like you're stuck in a lose-lose situation here, the fact that you recognize the impacts of all of those things is that you're miles ahead of a lot of folks in their health
Very
journey.
Much so.
So having that awareness is a big old win there. All right, so now I'm punting it over to Dr. Burgess.
No, but you're right, Josie, because Veronica, you've done a great job of I mean, nicotine is one of the most addicting substances out there. For you to have the skill set and the willpower to do that is amazing. But like you said, it seems like you kind of just replace it with food, which basically means food is just serving as a coping behavior that the tobacco was also serving. Anytime you are quitting one coping behavior, whether it's spending money or tobacco or alcohol, but you don't replace it with something else that is maybe in line with what your health goals are, then what we as humans are going to do is just sort of find another unhealthy coping behavior to put it in place. And that's what it sounds like food is doing. You know, food a lot of times has been paired up with our emotions throughout our lives, whether we're rewarding ourselves, whether we're bored, whether we're stressed, whether we feel unloved or we feel lonely. Food is usually the consistent thing in our life that can kind of always fill that void. But as we know, food was not meant to do that. So we're using a coping behavior to maybe manage emotions that are going to stay there because the food's not going to take care of that. So that is definitely what I would talk to your therapist about, is what can you start to develop to actually address whatever emotions might be going on. You know, you mentioned about the midlife crisis, and maybe there's some things going on in your life where you feel like you've got to make some changes, or you would like some more things in your life. And that's where you find the appropriate behaviors to address those emotions instead of using the food as the go-to. Food is easy and simple, and it provides a quick fix, and so that's why it is such a strong coping behavior. But food isn't designed to manage those things. So mm-hmm. I would explore a little bit deeper. Mindfulness is a great way to do that and see really what is what's missing in your life that food isn't fulfilling that you might need to find in other aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm so glad that you're already working with a therapist, because that really is going to be the kind of the long game that we're trying to play here with this situation. It's not going to be, you just switch to this and all the things are going to magically get better. It's going to be working through those emotions that have led you to either use tobacco products or use food or any of the multitude of other things that people use to address their emotions. For some people, it's food. Some people, it's smoking. Some, it's alcohol. Some, it's behaviors that we would even kind of consider healthy, but we can overdo it. We can use exercise to an unhealthy amount when we're trying to cope with different things. So working through that with your therapist is going to be really important. The other thing I'd like for you to do is just be kind to yourself, because you're doing good things. And when we think about food, and in particular food cravings, we tend to associate negative thoughts around those foods that have less nutritional value. And when we use those, we then feel guiltier.
Right, a whole other group of emotions emerge.
A whole other group of emotions. And then we go,
you beat yourself up even more.
Exactly.
Yes, you beat yourself up even more. And it just becomes a cycle. And so I like to kind of honor your cravings, right? Like if you're want something to eat, right? The first thing I do when I go, I really want something, right, is go, am I hungry or am I trying to feel something else, right? And if I'm hungry, I'm just going to eat, right? If I'm not hungry, then I really think, you know, what am I trying to address with this particular behavior? And if it's because I'm stressed and I really want some chips, right, maybe have some chips, but not the whole bag of chips, right? Kind of pair it like, this is what I want, but then pair it with, this is what I need, right? So my body is needing some other kind of nutrients. So maybe I have a few chips and then some veggies and a yummy dip to dip it in, right? That way I don't automatically say I failed at this because I had some chips. Don't give those chips that much power over you. All right. Veronica, we're so proud of you, and thank you for calling in today.
Thank you.
And
keep
on with your
Veronica.
Journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I add
sure.
one more thing?
Of course.
My therapist recommended this book called The Illustrated Happiness Trap.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Dr. Borges. I don't know if I said that right.
That's
but,
okay.
Yeah, it's called The Illustrated Happiness Trap, and I'm reading into it, and it is focusing on mindfulness and emotions and stuff like that. So I just wanted to put that out there for anybody that is thinking about getting into the mindfulness practice. I'm reading it. I find it to be very helpful.
Wonderful.
But it's going to take some time to develop those strategies. You
Absolutely.
But it'll be worth it. It'll be well worth it.
Vicious cycle.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Thank you
so much. Good job, Veronica.
Yeah. Keep it up, Veronica.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. What a great call. All right. What I would like to do kind of in the next like 1 to 2 minutes, Rachel, is briefly talk to us about water-based therapy. So I know that that doesn't give you a whole lot of time, but I often recommend water-based therapy to patients with chronic pain or joint issues and those kinds of things. And the first thing I get, people go, I am afraid of the water, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so talk to me about what water-based therapy really is, because we're not just chunking you in a pool and saying, good luck.
Right. Not at all. Think of it more as exercise in just a much more friendly environment. And there are some people that I see that do have a general fear of the water just mm-hmm. because they've had a lack of exposure or maybe they had a negative experience. At our clinic, our pool goes from 3 feet to 4.5 feet. So I say to all my patients, you are taller than this entire pool.
Yep.
And I say, I am too, which I stand a tall 5'1.5". So that gives them a little confidence. But water therapy is so wonderful because when you're in the water, you're able to do exercises that on land you may find difficult or painful. The water makes you buoyant. It unloads a good bit of your mm-hmm. weight, especially if you can get to at least chest level in the water. And a lot of my patients that are hurting on land get in the water and are doing things without pain at all. Mm-hmm. And so it's a wonderful way to improve your mobility and give you an opportunity to get your heart rate up. And that on land, it may be more difficult to do because mm-hmm. of pain that you're having or just decreased mobility in general. So we do offer aquatic therapy mm-hmm. at our clinic. We offer it in a group setting and individual. Mm-hmm. And I try to, we start very slowly, honestly, with the fearful patients. We start slowly. They stay next to the wall. You can do exercises right by the wall. You can hold on to the wall. And then gradually we let go of the wall. And eventually they float.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. And I can't tell you the number of times they've said, can you take my picture for my family with my phone? They're not going to believe this.
That I'm floating in this pool.
That's
absolutely.
Right. So it's kind of a double reward there that mm-hmm. they're getting the exercise and also building the confidence
yeah.
in the water.
Absolutely. You're listening to Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit on MPB Think Radio. I'm Josie Bidwell, joined by Danny Burgess and Rachel Deer. And we've been talking all about integrative health today. And in this last segment of the show, I want to talk about a really cool opportunity that is coming up for if you're curious about integrative health and what that entails. There's an event coming up that you can check that out at and also kind of get to interact with all of us because we will all be there as well. So Dr. Burgess, tell me about the Spring Into Wellness event.
Yes, so this is our third year to host this community health event, and we are so excited about this event because it is such a unique event in this Jackson metro area. So we've paired up a 5K walk and run that also includes a family fun run. That's, you know, kind of what you traditionally see mm-hmm. at, you know, your usual 5Ks, but we've added a health fair and a farmer's market to this. So you don't even have to come for the run or the walk. You can come just to enjoy the health vendors that we're going to have there, demonstrations, screenings, all kinds of health screenings from top to bottom, just a variety of mm-hmm. activities that really capture what integrative health is, what we do in our clinic now in this community event.
Mm-hmm. And you also get to see, it's on the site where the clinic is. So
exactly.
That can often be a limiting factor in people coming to clinics because they're like, well, I don't know where it is. I don't know where to go. What's the parking like? Is it scary when I walk in? You know, all those kinds of things. So this is a low stress way to kind of see the facility and get in there. Rachel, I know the 5K is kind of your baby, the area that you like the most. So tell us a little bit about, like, first of all, how long is a 5K?
Okay, 5K is 3.1 miles. And it starts at our clinic, which mm-hmm. is located in the Holmes Community College Student Fitness Center. And it is on the Frontage Road, I-55 North Frontage Road. But the route begins there, goes down Ridgeland Avenue. And it's really cool because it also jumps on the Natchez Trace mm-hmm. Trail. So it's the Ridgeland, the trails that run through Ridgeland where you ride or walk or
run.
Great
way to practice some mindfulness as you appreciate all the beautiful foliage that is starting to put out.
Exactly. So it's a great little route. In fact, we've gotten lots of good feedback about the running route. We haven't changed it at all since the first year because everybody comments on that's one of their favorite mm-hmm. things about it, the combination of trail and road. You also go on the Holmes campus for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's a great route. And then the fun run can also be a fun walk.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a run.
That's right.
Your pace.
That's right. And that is free. The fun run is mm-hmm. free. And also all of those health fair activities that Danny mentioned are free. Mm-hmm. And then the farmer's market is free. So really you're only, if you participate in the 5K, the official 5K run or walk that's being timed by Mississippi Race Timing, that's what you're going right. to pay for. Right. Everything else is offered for free.
And there's other, if running or walking is not your jam, right? Like you're not ready to do that. There are other options for fitness there as well. I will be there leading Zumba classes. So if you've ever just said, you know what, I want to go dance with her. Well, now's your chance to come dance with me for that. And then there's also chair yoga there as well, which my patients adore. Chair yoga. I mean, it's really a wonderful opportunity to do something in a very safe feeling way. You know, being seated is a great way to kind of kick that off. And there's going to be lots of different vendors that are going to be there that have kind of sponsored this event. What are some of those things?
So some of our health vendors that are coming out will be doing things like dental screening, mm-hmm. Blood pressure, glucose levels, vision screenings, audiology. Our
nice.
Department is going to come out there. That's new this year, so we're excited about that. Also, mental health screenings. NAMI is going to be there, which is the National Alliance of Mental Illness, and Heinz Behavioral Health. So all kinds of different education that participants will be able to get. Also, there's going to be some free demonstrations for acupuncture and massage. So all of that will provide people just maybe, like you said, sort of a low stress, low pressure environment to maybe try a few things you wouldn't necessarily make an appointment to go to or see, and it just gives you that exposure.
Wonderful. All right, in the last few minutes of the show, we do have a caller from Mobile. Good morning, Terry. How can we help you?
Hi, I really appreciate everything you guys have been talking about today.
Yeah.
I would love to know how to implement some of these things into my life by going through my insurance, mm-hmm. my medical insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dr. Burgess, talk to me about insurance coverage for integrative health type services.
Yeah, so we don't ever have a problem with insurance coverage because what you're doing is you're seeing like a psychologist, a physical therapist, a nurse practitioner, a psychiatrist maybe if that's part of it, which are all services that are covered through insurance. Now, something like a dietitian, mm-hmm. not quite yet in
not
terms
quite
of getting
yet,
that
but we
covered,
bundle that in,
but
actually.
But that gets bundled
yeah.
in, correct. Yeah. And then a lot of our groups are free groups because we understand that insurance won't cover a lot of that, or mm-hmm. we may do a very small mm-hmm. nominal fee for a group just to cover materials. But insurance is really usually good at covering these individual services, even though they're all kind of packaged mm-hmm. together mm-hmm. under one roof, yeah. but they're still considered individual services that insurance will cover.
Yeah. And Terry, I know the call says Mobile, so I know you're not super local to us. If you want to shoot me an email, fit@mpbonline.org. I will look for some services a little closer to you that probably won't be exactly what we have here, but will be a good jumping off spot for you to be able to implement some of these things.
Wonderful. I did look up your website, and you know, I don't even mind driving.
Wonderful. Well, we'd love to see you.
You're worth the drive.
You can come to the Spring Into Wellness event on May 4th.
Yes.
That'd be a great way to start.
May the 4th be with you.
Exactly.
Right? Yep,
exactly.
Absolutely.
I love it. Thank y'all.
You're so welcome. And great last little segment there, Rachel. We didn't even say when this event is, so you win the prize for today. So
okay.
Briefly tell us when it is, what time it starts.
Okay, this year's Spring Into Wellness will be May 4th. Star Wars Day,
that's
as
right.
Josie said. It will run from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. The 5K begins at 8:30, but the health fair will be going on then. There'll be the Zumba, the yoga, the acupuncture, the massage. Everything kind of starts at 8:30, goes to 11:30. So that will be on May 4th. We hope to see y'all there.
Absolutely. And again, that website, if you didn't catch it before, is umc.edu/CIH. All right. You've been listening to to Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit on MPB Think Radio. I've been your host, Josie Bidwell. Thanks to my guests, Dr. Danny Burgess and Rachel Deer with the Center for Integrative Health. If you didn't get your question in, you can always email me, fit@mpbonline.org. And make sure to tune in every weekday at 11 for the full Southern Remedy lineup.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.